this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
This is episode 75 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Hello. I was about to say, like, buenos dias. I don't know why.
It's evening. We're like, tired.
We need some sort of, after doing this for whatever, 4+ years, mm-hmm. we still don't have, like, a catchy, like, welcome line.
I don't
think
it's ever going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. So we'll just fumble through this part.
So the general announcements that we always start with. So I know people are having issues with getting episode 74 and we're just talking about it. It seems to be some kind of iTunes issue with people with PCs, mm-hmm. and we have no idea. So we're sorry. We are trying our best.
Yes, we're looking into it. But basically it seems that, Erin has no problem getting it on her Mac. I cannot download it. We've uploaded it 3 times now. It shows up in iTunes, and I can't get it on my PC. I've had other people all with PCs contact me saying they're having problems with it, but other people on PCs saying, oh, it's working fine for me. So we're pretty stumped right now as to what the issue is. I feel like it is an iTunes, Windows, possibly, issue. I don't know. Anyway.
Because it seems like most people who are having problems have Windows 7.
Yeah. Anyway.
In the latest issue, whatever.
If there's iteration of iTunes, out there who's like some sort of iTunes genius who understands what is happening, and you want to let us know, that would
Please
be awesome. Because we're really confounded.
So hopefully it's just episode 74, and then this episode you'll be able to get perfectly fine. But we're still working on it, so sorry. But there are links on the Double Knit board in the episode 74 thread where I've linked to where you can listen.
And you can always listen off of the website at doublenit.net.
Yeah. That all works perfectly fine.
And you can always go to archive.org and find us there.
That's where all the episodes are.
Everything. Every single episode ever.
One through now.
Yes.
Yes.
One through now.
One through now.
Number now.
Depends on when people listen to it.
I know. Oh, we're at 75, aren't 75. We?
75.
Ooh. 75.
So that's that.
Okay.
And we have
more announcements.
A couple days till the end of our first window chunk of time, whatever you want to call it, for our Deep Stash knit along.
That's right.
I see people are like rolling in their projects.
Yeah. There's a lot up there. It's very inspiring.
So I will be locking the thread on March 1st and then drawing for prizes.
Yes.
And I'll start a new thread for March and April. That, I think, is it. And all the info is on the Ravelry board. And tag your projects DSKAL 2013.
Yes.
That's pretty much it.
Yep.
Yep. And then I wanted to talk about my sister's Peace Corps project.
Oh, yeah.
I posted this on our board as well, and the Pearly Girls board.
Yes.
Our knitting group board. My sister's in the Peace Corps. She's in Ethiopia. She has started a kindergarten, and in order to get funding for the kindergarten, not only while she's still there, but after she leaves, she had to write a grant, and she is asking for our support. So all the information is on the Ravelry board. She needs $3,200 to establish a school, and then they're going to set up a shop where people can buy things at the school, and that'll continue to fund the school, as well as this initial grant. I know some of our listeners have already donated. Thank you so much. It's awesome. If you donate using the link in the show, not in the show notes, it'll be linked in the show notes. If you donate following the link on the board, which is, I think, Birdie's Peace Corps project funding or something like that. And then donate and then post on the board that you donate. And I'm going to draw for prizes. And my sister is shopping in the Ethiopian marketplace to send me prizes.
Cool.
For you guys too. So you'll get like, I don't know what, random Ethiopian cool stuff. But it'll be cool. My sister is cool. So I know she'll pick out like interesting things for y'all. So if you could do that, I don't have a deadline for it. So, I'm just trying to get her some extra help. And she had asked me when she was writing the initial grant if I could talk about it on the podcast and with our knitting group.
Harness
and
the power of knitters.
I know. And then people have posted it, I know, on Facebook, and that's perfectly fine if you want to share it there too. Yeah, because basically there's one kindergarten in the school, in the town, and if you can't put your kid, and it's 20 kids, and there's a lot more kids than that, then if you can't, if your kid doesn't get in there, you have to send them to private school, which is really, really expensive. And so people just don't send their kids to kindergarten. And the teachers also don't get much training. So the kids who don't get sent to kindergarten are often left at home, sometimes taking care of younger siblings instead of being in school. And then, so it's to, like, help get the kids started with early education so that the low-income kids aren't left behind, the people who can afford their to send their kids to a private school. And it's also to get more kindergarten teacher training, because a lot of times it's at, like, a, you know, a few months they get their certification and they're thrown into a classroom and the teachers don't know how to teach, really. Yeah. So it's kind of an all-inclusive thing, and my sister's working very closely with the community that she's trying to focus on to see what they need. So it's really cool.
Yes.
And you could get prizes.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk while we both attended fiber events.
Yeah.
In the past couple weeks. So you want to go from Madrona?
Yes. So I was at Madrona. And first, thank you so much to everybody who came by the booth or saw me and said hi. I think I said before Madrona, like, I'm usually pretty crazy when at Madrona. I feel like when I'm there, I'm always...
Cray-cray.
There's always some... Cray-cray. Oh. Sorry, we had a whole talk at knitting about terms that we don't like, among them. Cray-cray, totes, adorbs, obvi. So, of course, Aaron's got to, you know, pepper the whole podcast with that. Thanks, Aaron. Aaron.
You're welcome.
Obs. Obs. Totes. Anywho. Anywho. There, we can add that to the list. Yeah. Anywho.
I like anywho, though.
Oh, do you? All right. All right, fine. Anyway, but when I'm at Madrona, I feel like I, no matter what I'm doing, like, I'm always supposed to be doing something else. Like, if I'm free, I feel like I should be at the marketplace checking on the booth. And if I'm in the marketplace, I feel like, anyway, I'm constantly running back and forth. So, I'm not, like, super focused on people sometimes when I'm there, so I'm sorry if someone said hello to me and I kind of went, hi, and then just kept running, because that probably happened about a dozen times. Mm-hmm. I'm just always on the run. But I took a two-day class this year. So Jean Wong is a Nihon Vogue instructor based out of Vancouver, BC, and I've never really... I know a lot of people who do the, like, the year-long Nihon Vogue or, like, the multi-year Nihon Vogue classes with her, and it's never appealed to me. It's kind of, to my way of thinking, kind of a rigid way of doing things. Like, there's a lot of you have to do this, you have to do that, and so it's never really appealed to me. But this was called Tailoring the Japanese Way, something to that effect. And basically, from what I can understand, it was about, like, a several week long Nihon Vogue class crammed into 2 days. Ouch. In which we took all our measurements. We're creating a pattern that would work for a crew neck set and sleeve pullover. So we took all of our measurements and we drew them all out in real size on graph, enormous sheets of graph paper. And then we calculate, and we, based on, you know, a number of worksheets and calculations, we figured out, like, the armhole shaping and the sleeve cap shaping, the sleeve shaping, all the waist shaping, how much ease, and then also calculated out, based on our gauge, the decreases that you would do, increases, etc., to short row shaping in the shoulders, everything you would do to accomplish that project. So there were a lot of things. I feel like I've told this story a bunch of times already, but there were a lot of things that she said that I just immediately did not agree with. But I feel like that's okay, because I'm an experienced enough and a confident enough knitter to know, like, oh, she wants me to begin the waist shaping right from the hip. I'm not going to do that. But I feel like there were other people who were like writing everything down. Like I kept saying, they present the information sometimes like it was inscribed on tablets and passed on to them in the desert somewhere. You know, it's very word of God. Like, you must do this. If you don't do this, you know, it has to be this. You cannot do that. Never more than this. Like, a lot of very specific hard and fast rules, which I'm not a big believer in, like, really specific hard and fast rules, especially when it comes to knitting. Anyway, but it was very interesting. Another side highlight of the class was that I ended up seated next to Elizabeth Doherty, who's a designer who's got a couple of self-published patterns and patterns that have appeared in Twist, who actually listens to this podcast.
Hello!
Hi!
Love your face! I told her that at Stitches. Love your face!
She, anyway, but we had a really good time the first day, but the second day she was sick, so I was all alone at my table. But then we got together later and I got to kind of run through the material with her again that she missed on that day, which was actually good for me because, you know, sometimes you like do something in a class and you take notes and having to actually like explain it to someone else makes you think about it a little bit harder, and process it a little bit more. So that was really helpful for me. But then, well, Erin can fill in this on later, but then Erin and all of her cohorts at Stitches ended up meeting Elizabeth too.
Yeah.
So we've all had a bit of Elizabeth the last couple of days.
Elizabeth, you should move here.
Yeah.
Come join our knitting group. It'll be awesome.
Not trying to be too creepy there. Okay.
No, she PM'd me and she was like, it made me want to move to Seattle. Oh, do it.
Do it. Do yeah. It. Come to Seattle. We're awesome.
We are awesome.
Anyway, so that was a lot of fun. And then I had one half day class with a spinning class with Judith McKenzie, which was on, possum yarn. And so when we're talking about possum, we're talking about the New Zealand possum, which is not the same animal as a North American possum.
Which are super scary.
Yes.
And creepy.
It is a marsupial. It has a fur coat. It, I just had a really funny visual for it has a fur coat. It doesn't like wear a possum fur coat.
Wearing a fur
it
coat. Actually,
I know, yeah. Like, is that mink?
I had that visual too. With maybe a little fur stole.
Just big like buttons a little fox tummy, stole. You know? All right, getting punchy here. Anyway, it has fur, and I've never spun fur yarns before, and so some of the thing, but unfortunately, some of the supplies didn't show up, and also unfortunately, Judith was quite sick with a cold, so it wasn't her greatest class ever. Things were a little, and it was only a half day class with her. But so I'd say like the bullet points I learned about spinning possum yarn or any kind of fur yarn is that it really helps to have it carded into a blend. Otherwise, if you try to comb it, and also to spin it like a woolen, like long draw, because if you try to do worsted or a combed prep, the fur just falls out. So you need to kind of really mix it in there.
It's super short, right?
Yeah. It, and not very, you know, kind of slick, not very grabby. So we spun a couple of different blends, and that was interesting. And I love spinning long draw. I know a lot of people are not long draw spinners, so that was really fun for me to do.
This is awesome because a lot of people are asking you to talk more about your spinning.
I did see that someone asked me to talk more about spinning. We can do that another time. I don't want to drag this down because Erin's got her whole Stitches report to do too. Yep. So I did that. I hung out with my friends. I had a great time. I'd say it was a great year at Madrona. It seemed like maybe there were a few fewer people than last year, but last year was the highest number of people registered ever, and so it actually was kind of nice to have it be a little less crowded. It felt like people were able to shop a little bit more comfortably in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of new vendors in the marketplace.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So, you know, there was some changeover.
Jenny the Potter was there, right?
Jenny the Potter was there.
She has never been there before.
No, she's from Minnesota. She's one of my camp buddies.
I've only seen her at Sock Summit.
Right. So, yeah, she had the booth right across from us. So we were neighbors with Jenny, which was really... And I didn't even know she was coming until a few days before Madrona. But, like, Goth Socks wasn't there this year. Tactile wasn't there, but Brooke was there with Sincere Sheep, which was really nice. There was like another new local dyer, Jorstad Creek, which is a woman who goes to my November retreat. And so she had like local yarns or fibers she had sourced locally and had spun herself and dyed herself. So there was like, I bought some thin wool that was grown locally from her, which I thought was really cool. That was dyed a nice plum color. We had a pretty different booth this year. We had a ton of hazelnuts this year. We've been partnering with Wendy Shulson, who is the dyer slash owner of Hazelnuts. There's no one named Hazel at Hazelnuts. And so we had a big display of Entice, which is her Merino Cashmere Nylon blend.
You guys wouldn't have made Bank at Stitches. No one was vending. There was no Hazelnuts at Stitches because Bobbin's Nest closed.
Right. Well, though, I thought Bobbin's Nest didn't have a booth. They would usually have like a trunk show at their shop.
There was nothing at Stitches.
Oh, that's too bad.
Nope.
So we had the Entice, and then we had the Lively DK, and a whole bunch of socks. So we had all of that, and a bunch of other fun things. I'm trying to think.
The shop was linked on the Yarn Harlots blog.
That's right. The Yarn Harlot visited us.
And played with the puppets.
And also we had yarn in our booth, which we're getting back in the shop this week. That's called R4. That's created by Andrea Eyre, who's a local, knitter and spinner. And what she does is she goes out and gets, cashmere sweaters from thrift shops, and she unravels them. And then this is where and here is a little spinny talk too. She unravels them and she adds more twist to the yarn, and then creates cabled yarns with them. So she creates like a worsted weight yarn that's actually a 12-strand cable. And I don't know the breakdown of it. This is one of the things we were talking about at the spinning retreat with Judith. So a cabled yarn is where you take yarns that are already plied and then sort of ply them back in the original spinning direction together. Cabled yarns are really wonderful, really stable, round, great yarns. Or you can do all, actually they don't have to be round. They can be all sorts of interesting things. But so she makes these, what is essentially has 12 plies, but this cabled construction. So it's this very round, plump, 100% cashmere yarn. She also dyes it all. Wow. So it's a very unique, beautiful, and really, wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful that it's recycled. I was just talking with someone at the shop about this week. There's definitely a lot of concern within the industry and among environmentalists about what the cashmere industry is doing to the environment. Mm-hmm. Plus, not to mention, there's a lot of stuff on the market that is labeled as cashmere that isn't actually cashmere.
Right.
I had learned at some point that cashmere is actually defined by fineness. So it's my suspicion that a lot of things that are sold as cashmere are actually really fine wools. There's also a lot of like imposter cashmere that's actually synthetic, which is the basis in part of the lawsuit between Cascade Yarns and KFI.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so there's a lot of issues sort of swirling around cashmere. And it's one of those things where people come to the store all the time and say, oh, do you have cashmere? And then you show them cashmere and then they see the price tag for cashmere. And then they're like, oh, well, what else do you have? And so Andrea's yarn is just a really unique, interesting yarn. It feels wonderful. It looks really cool.
Sounds really cool.
So she's going to be bringing some of that back to the shops. She does it in like 100 and 200 yard skeins, and they're $35 and $60 for those. So
that's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount of work she does for it. So but it's a really interesting yarn, and it's cool to be able to support someone doing something interesting locally. We also had yarn bowls. I didn't know that Jenny was going to be there with her yarn bowls, but there's room in the world for more than one potter. And so we had yarn bowls from a local potter named Heidi Kunkel. And we have those at the shop now too. And they're very different from Jenny's. Like their aesthetic is really different because Jenny's stuff is all the really fun, like hand carved whimsical designs, and Heidi's are just a little more,
fully glazed, right?
Yeah. Kind of like, I would almost say like an Asian aesthetic of like a celadon glaze and very kinda pretty.
Glossy.
Yeah. And different.
Yep.
But so Madrona was awesome. Got to hang out with my friends. Ate a lot of bad food. I mean, not
good, bad
food.
For you.
Good food that was bad for me.
Yep.
And had a really great time. And then bam, it was over and had to go home. And then you got to go to Stitches.
I did. I went to Stitches. I just have to say, like, we have the friendliest, most awesome listeners and fellow podcast people. Like, I have to say that the podcast meetup was my favorite, absolute favorite part. Just hanging out with people for, like, a couple hours, plus or minus. I was drinking beer, we're knitting, we're talking. I felt like I was, like, overly saturated with socialization stuff. I just, my brain kind of melted toward the end there, but everyone was super nice, and they moved us because we were, like, violating fire code or something. So
by being too awesome.
By being too awesome. By having too many people and spilling over into the walkway. It was, like, super cool just to meet other podcasters that I listen to. And, like, people I know from Ravelry, but I've never met before. So, and Elizabeth was there. Hello. Yeah, it was just really great and relaxing. I mean, I get really nervous about stuff like that because I'm actually an introvert and I have to work really hard at being extroverted. So it takes a lot of energy.
I don't have to work at it at
all. Yeah, you're an extrovert. It's like really draining for me, but in an awesome way.
Yeah.
Like I left feeling so happy.
Cool.
Because everyone was so happy to be there too. And I was like, dude, all we do is sit around and talk about knitting.
I know. I still have this kind of like gobsmacked reaction when people say that they listen to the podcast where I'm like, it's just, you know, the two of us sitting here in your living room, just shooting the shit, talking about our knitting the way we would normally.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of fascinating to me that it's like, or amazing to me that it's interesting to other people aren't, you know, that it's enjoyable for other people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm so happy that you guys like it. And obviously we love doing it because we've been doing it for a really long time.
Yeah.
But it's still on some level, I'm like, really? Like when people say they listen to the podcast, I'm always like, wow, really? Okay. It's still kind of surprising. Like I forget too. Sometimes I forget that we've like recorded our conversation and I'll think like, oh, that was just a conversation I had with Aaron. And then I realize it was a conversation I had with Aaron. And then we shared with our closest 1,000 or so friends, you know? So it's just really weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's really cool.
It is really cool. And people came up to me on the in the marketplace and said hi, and it was just awesome. And a couple of people were like, I was kind of scared to say hi to you. And I was like, I'm not going to do anything to you.
I know, it's funny.
But it is, I mean, it's a weird thing.
Yeah. One woman came up to me, I think I told you this already. She said, you told me on the plane that I should come and say hi if I saw you. And I have had an issue my entire life of having like that face where everybody thinks they know me. When it's actually someone else's thing. Like I used to work at a big mall in on the east side, and people would just walk up and start talking to me thinking I was someone else. So I it's something I experience a lot. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, she's mistaken me for someone else. And I was trying to find like a nice way to go, I'm sorry, you're obviously mixing me up with somebody else. And then she's like, no, I was listening to the podcast on the plane and you said, if I saw you, I should come and say hi. And then I was like, oh, okay. I just had this horrible frozen moment where I was like, oh dear, she thinks she knows me. But you didn't know me. I just didn't know that you knew me.
Yeah. Oh, friends.
Yes.
So that was amazing just to meet people. And I think that was my favorite part of Stitches. I mean, being in such a huge thing,
yarny
like Stitches.
Thing.
And having everyone, like everyone at the bar was knitting, like the staff who worked there, like, we didn't stay at the Hyatt, me and my entourage. You may have noticed me walking around, like, 3 to 5 other people. We didn't stay at the Hyatt, we stayed at the Avatar, and there's, like, a sports bar next door, and I think an IHOP is attached to it or something, to the hotel. But the first night we got there, we went into the sports bar, and we all walked in, we ordered drinks, you know, just to relax because we got in at like 10 or something. And we pulled on our knitting, we're knitting. And so the guy comes and he's like, yeah, last year we had no idea. We ran out of everything. And then he's like, we ordered so much extra food and this and that. And he's like, but we only have 5 bottles of white wine until Saturday morning. You just tell them that. Like, because I personally know all the knitters.
You tell them to order red, goddammit.
Yeah. That's so funny. He's like, you just tell them. And I'm like, it's thousands of people.
Well, that's so funny because at Madrona, the staff says over and over again to everybody, like, that Madrona is their favorite. It's at the Hotel Murano in Tacoma, and everyone on the staff there, from, like, the bellmen to the desk to the waitresses, mm-hmm. the bartenders, they all say that it's their favorite event that they have at the hotel every year because the knitters are all so nice and the mm-hmm. staff really enjoys it. And they were even like talking smack happy a little bit there, about the other groups know? That were there.
It's funny.
Apparently there was some sort of kid dance competition the week before. Ooh. Not a favorite among the staff.
I bet.
But, oh, that's cool. Well, so I was asking Ariel last night at knitting about, like, what she saw that, like, really grabbed her, like, what the cool, awesome thing was. And she didn't really have any big answers. Did you see?
There were a few things. Well, there was a Craftsy booth there. Right. And you could get a free class if you signed up on their little system thing. So that was cool. And they had a cute little booth with, like, a sofa and tables and stuff.
Okay.
What's it? Sweet Fiber. Not Sweet Georgia. Sweet Fiber. She's from Vancouver, BC.
That's confusing.
Yeah.
Because Sweet Georgia is also from Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's a little confusing. Okay.
She does these beautiful, kind of like Tosh a little bit. Like, but her palette was a little more subdued just across the board. She has like a merino light type of base and I think it's called the Avery's, like a sport weight with cashmere and stuff. Mm-hmm. The beautiful kind of subtle saturated colors, and they had some patterns there. They had like a Tin Can Knits, like newly released pattern, and a Jane Richmond, and they had some samples from Island, Jane Richmond's book. And that was really pretty. I didn't end up getting any because I was like, what shade of gray should I get? And I'm like, I have so much gray yarn.
I heard Miss Babs was totally swamped all the
time. Oh, it's always like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went there Saturday morning, like first thing when we got there, to get my sweaters worth that I was looking for.
So a sweater's worth of Yowza?
Yes.
What color did you get?
French Marigold. It's right there to the orange.
Ooh. Okay.
It's kind of like glazed carrot, but not as bright.
Yeah. So is that this your whole haul?
Yeah, except for the black. That's yarn I had.
I'm going to go dig through Erin's yarn while she talks.
Cephalopod.
Cephalopod was a big one because she used to be part of the Sanguine Griffin,
yes.
And then they split.
Spinnery?
Yes. Actually, that's another Yowza.
This is another Yowza. This is a multicolored Yowza.
She's gonna biker chick.
Biker chick.
She's retiring that color.
Aww.
So.
Ooh, what's this bright blue?
That is Neighborhood Fiber Company.
She's
Ann Weaver. Did a project with.
Right.
I think her name is Kendrika, who does the dyeing.
Yeah.
Super saturated, crazy colors, but she has these skeins of worsted that are 400 yards.
Cool.
And it's in a kind of a bright electric blue.
Is it the webs booth, too?
That's the stuff I just washed.
Oh, that's the stuff you washed? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the webs? Was that?
Webs.
Okay.
I got a sport weight. And a fur. I think Palm de Pin is going to be the
sport weight.
Oh, you
get the Freya.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've never had a knit with a gradient, so.
Yeah, I always see her at TNNA, and mm-hmm. I'm always like, I think it's a little expensive.
It is a little expensive.
I don't know if she does a, was she there, or did she
it's,
have,
it was Freya. Say,
okay.
Yeah.
Because maybe she does a more favorable rate, because her, I don't know.
That was 30.
Is it? Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Because I always thought...
And like, it's not that much yardage. It's 322 yards.
Yeah, I didn't know if people would really... I mean, I'm always
really
do
a cowl, though,
attracted
so.
To it, but I don't know if people would really want to spend that much for it. And it's not to say that it isn't worth it,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just sort of always the balancing act when you're buying yarn for a shop. Like, it's not necessarily that... that, you know, that something isn't worth the price...
I know it's a lot of work to dye gradients, which is why the price is higher.
But sometimes people, even though they can look at it and see that it's reasonable that it's that price, they still don't want to pay that price. So,
yeah. So, the cutest booth was Delicious Yarns.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, she's new, I think. It was set up like a little sweet shop.
Aww.
So it had like this cupcake sign that had a big cupcake on it, and all her yarns were named like parfait, you know, and they're all like pastel kind of desserty colors, which is not really my palette, but and everyone was that worked there was wearing like these white button-up polo t-shirts that had little cupcake like buttons on them, like they were, you know, the what were they called, the jerks, soda jerks kind of, yeah super super cute.
Cool.
Yeah, I was right on budget, including food. So I did a good job. Good, I think. For you. No frenzy. It was restrained. Yeah.
Left the frenzying to Monica.
Yeah, I mean, I looked and touched a lot of stuff, like a ton of stuff, like a crazy amount of stuff. But I was also really trying not to duplicate colors, which is difficult.
Yeah.
Hence the orange sweater. I love my glazed carrot cowl, my super cupcake. So I thought that that would be a good sweater. And I looked at all the colors and I was like, oh, I don't know. And then Saturday morning I was like, it's the orange. The orange is calling to me.
All right.
But my, so I love everything I bought. But my favorite is the Green Mountain Spinnery.
Yeah, that it's like and the they're my oval
friends.
Balance.
Hi, friends. Yeah, it's called Cotton Comfort. It's 80% wool and 20% cotton, and it's like a tweed. And there's like, you know, some kind of like the oval palette, kind of muted colors, and then this cool navy, which is what I got. And then they had a really nice bright cherry red. So I was trying to decide between the two. I went for the navy, and I'm thinking I'm gonna knit another Acer cardigan.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you do wear that one a lot.
I wear it so much. I actually had it there and had to take it off because it was so hot. Yeah. And I went to the Hiya Hiya booth to get longer sock needles so I can do two at a time because I love my sharps. And a lot of people were looking for the Chow Goos or whatever they are.
Yeah.
I like the Hiya Hiyas. I think their cable's more flexible.
Cool.
So that... which is like half our podcast, is the recap.
Okay, should we get to quickly talking about what we're actually
I don't actually have a ton.
All right.
For once.
Okay.
Which is funny, because the number one question I got asked was how I finished so much stuff.
She's a witch.
Yeah. I can't actually sprout a second set of arms.
That's right. She's a sorceress. She can bend time.
I'm very good at managing my time. I'm very efficient. And I'm a very efficient knitter. So, that's how I do it. Anyways, so, last time we talked about the swap we were having in our knitting group, and we did it, and I had knit the Dandelion Days cowl, which is a lace cowl in sock yarn, and it's in Hazelnut's Blossom, which Karen, my recipient, had just been talking that evening earlier about how someday she would own that color. So
and little did she know.
She already has a knitted thing out of it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then last night I stayed up too late and finished Storm Warning, which I had run out of yarn for and taken with me to Stitches and didn't find anything. So then I ripped back past the halfway point and then re-knit it and cast off last night.
So that was knit in a Kitchen Sink Dye Works.
Yeah, it's her C-Cell wool blend in the Peabody color. She's not dying anymore. Right. And there's only, like, one other person on Ravelry who has it on their, in their stash, so it wasn't really something I could, you know, PM and get.
And Stormwind, it's a little side-to-side garter stitch shawlette with a lace edging with beads.
And a cable.
And a cable, okay.
Yeah, so I haven't washed it yet, but I had this tiny little nugget of yarn left, and I was like, all right.
Just the way you want it.
Yep. And then completely out of my stash. Yay!
Yay! And somewhat deep stash, I imagine, since... Yes. Mercedes shuttered her business right after the last sock summit.
Which is where I bought it.
Yeah.
And then the project I took with me to work on for Stitches and stuff, the Bristol hat by Amy Christophers, excuse me. It's Christopher's, like Christopher Robin. I finished it like the day I got back because I forgot to pack DPNs. And that's a little slightly slouchy toque beanie and a texture pattern, like a chevron texture pattern. Out of sock yarn. And I had one skein of Quince & Company Turn, which it calls for whatever, the 100% wool one.
Uh-huh.
I forget. Chickadee, maybe? I don't know. But I have this skein that Noah had gotten me for Christmas like 2 years ago. And it didn't even use the whole thing. It's like less than 220 yards of sock yarn.
Cool.
So now I have a skein of Malabrigo Finito. And I'm going to knit another one.
Ooh.
In like a ochre color.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's what I finished. Do you want to talk about what you finished so I can have some water?
Yes, I will talk about what I finished. So I, for my swap, I knit a pair of socks for my partner. And my partner was Katie, Dancing Sheep Northwest. And I knit, I am opening the wrong thing on my phone to tell you what I knit. I knit the Paisley socks by Very Busy Monkey, which was kind of funny because my partner was Jean and she knit Canyonlands by Very Busy Monkey for me. So that was kind of funny. And then I knit it in Malabrigo sock in the Dewberry color, which is like a newer purple color that, and Katie is quite the Malabrigo connoisseur, but she did not have that color yet. So I,
and she doesn't knit socks.
And she doesn't knit socks. So, they're, anyway, they're like a kind of lacy, twisty stitch situation.
Situation.
I don't know. They're nice. I haven't knit socks in a long time, so that was fun to do. And then I finished my Hepburn vest, finally.
Yay. And you wore it.
I did. I've been knitting this thing since August. But basically, I've just been knitting it on, I've just been knitting it on Monday nights. Mm. So it took forever. So I did wear it, and yeah, and it's quite nice, and I'm very, very glad to be done with that. I also did finish my Fabergé cowl, which I think I talked about last time, was that I'm knitting a Noro Cachelaine, and I have these like 5-0 triangle beads for it, and then I had the endless search to find the right size crochet hook that wouldn't shred the yarn. And it was so funny because I was like, I'm just in this mood lately where like knitting with beads is so tedious and having to crochet. And the ridiculous thing is on the Fabergé, it's only 20 beads every, like every round that has beads, and it's only beaded every like sixth or eighth round or something. So it's not even that much beading.
That's not a lot.
But I think I've just sort of hit my saturation point with beading or fiddliness or something. I don't know.
Totes.
Totes, yes. My Madrona project was the 70s inspired cowl, which is a Grace Ockram pattern I got.
Sorry for the background
noise. I know, like we got coughing and meowing.
My husband came home from the pet food store and the cat is now meowing. So there might be a little bit of disruption in the background.
I got it from Grace at TNNA. I think she was giving that away. And it calls for 4 shades of sock yarn, about 75 yards each. So it's a perfect stash buster. So I pulled
that's
out.
A great picture of it.
Oh, thank you. Just with my phone. It's I've used up a little bit of Hand Jive Nature's palette, RIP, no longer in business, in light teal with it. A blue Koigu KPM, so like one of their solids that I got from Amanda years ago, and leftovers in Shepherd Sock. I think the colors are pine and China blue. The China blue I must have gotten about 8 years ago. I knitted a shawl in it. I think I knitted an Ishbel in it for my best friend's daughter's like the Christmas before last or two, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pine, I also knit a shawl. I think I did the Traveling Woman in it also 2 Christmases ago for her other daughter. So I got to use up a bunch of scraps on that. And Lord knows I love a scrappy project, scrappy stripes. Love it. It's just a little feather and fan thing. I fudged the stripe pattern because I ran out of one of my colors. I have reunited with the Bunny project that, or it's not called Bunny, it's called Tideline. I'm knitting in a yarn called Bunny that was from Cecily Glock McDonald's landing book, although it's not designed by Cecily, it's designed by Bristol Ivy. Which
is ginormous.
I hadn't been working on for a long time. I started it back in November and I brought it to knitting last week and worked on it a little bit, and now I'm back to, I haven't touched it since then, but I don't know. I'd say I'm maybe like a quarter of a way through it, something like that. But, and what I have been doing though is the sideways shawl, which I also started in November and stopped because there was errata for the pattern and I didn't have the errata when I started it.
Did you take that to your retreat?
I took it to my retreat and knit it for a little bit and was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. And it's because the pattern was wrong. And then once you don't have the errata and you're not in an incorrect pattern, it makes a lot more sense.
Yay.
So I'm kind of cooking along on it. I've got
Elspeth Lavold.
Yes, this is in Silky Wool. So the charcoal is deep stash. It's leftovers from my Tangled Yoke cardigan that mm-hmm. I knit whenever that came out, like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I bought magenta to go with it, to contrast with it. So it's just a fun kind of maybe a little 80s stripiness going on. But it's really, once you have the correct pattern, it's really easy. Just going back and forth, short rowing kind of thing. And it's a lot like some of the Vera Valamaki ones where, you know, when you're going back and forth, like, if you miscount or something, it doesn't really make any difference because it won't really impact the shape on it at all.
Because it's such wide stripes.
Yeah. And you're doing so many short rows and, you know, one stitch here, one stitch there is not going to make a big difference. So I'm cooking on that. And let's talk deep stash. I bought yarn to knit the little blue jeans that Kay Gardner designed for Knitty mm-hmm. when Kay and Anne came out with their first book and were in Portland. And Sarah and I drove down to Portland for the day to see their book signing and we had dinner with them. And so that was, I don't know, 7 years ago, maybe. Uh-huh. And I bought Rowan denim to knit those little pants, which sat in my stash for years. Finally, about a year ago, I thought, I'm going to knit those. Finally knit the little pant legs. And then got stuck because I had like a mental block with embroidering on the pocket details and like the fly detail and everything. And they just sat there and I'd bring them to knitting and kind of stare at them and freak out. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it. So Rebecca, Talking Crow from our knitting group said, oh, I'll do it for you. And she took it home. And then I never saw them again, which was fine.
That was a while ago.
Yeah. It's not like I had like a baby that I wanted to give them to. But so she texted me at work like the other day. It's like, oh, I finished those pants. Like, oh, right. So she brought them into the shop today and gave them back to me. I still have to sew them up. But she's like, one of the legs looks kind of bigger than the other, and I'm holding them up. I think I knit the legs in two different sizes, but it's like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going back. I will find a weird-shaped baby to give them to. I don't care. Nice. I'm sewing them together. She did a really adorable job. She did all the little seams, like the little fake pockets and the fly and the button. Mm-hmm. And she even like got a little piece of felt and put a label on the back of the jeans with like a little star embroidered on it. It's super cute. I would have never done it so nicely. So she brought that back to me and I'm like,
she's good at stuff like that.
I handed it to her apparently in the bag with my scissors and my chibis. I'm like, that's why I can't find that other one. I've been looking everywhere for it. Like a whole little plastic container. That was last summer, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
It was a while ago. She said it was less than a year.
Yeah.
She said it was sometime after the retreat, but yeah. Anyway, so I just got that back. So now I've got to actually sew them up and finish them, and I got to get the elastic for the waist and everything. But that's where I am on my projects.
I have some whips.
Okay.
So I'm knitting the second sock to a pair for Noah, and they are called Slow Gin by Emma Grundy Hay. And they're a man's sock, and it's basically a rib pattern with some little cable sewn in. There's twisted rib at the top of the cuff, and then this cool little knot detail, like cabled knot.
Like a clock pattern on the back of the leg.
On the back of the leg, and then the rest of it's just kind of ribbed, and I'm a good portion through the foot.
And what are you knitting that in?
Some Joanne stuff from a really long time ago that's not even in my stash. but I don't really like it. It's fuzzing a lot. It's like a wool bamboo, but the bamboo is the nylon, basically.
Yeah.
It's fuzzing a lot and it's pretty splitty. But whatever. I think it'll probably wear okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Good. I'm going to throw the rest of it out. And I'm still knitting that mohair bias loop that I was knitting on last time. I haven't picked it up because I've been working on trying to finish kind of my sloggy projects. And that's not really one that I'm already halfway through it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much time at all.
No.
It's on size 10.5 needles. Tonight I picked up my flowing line sweater that was in that Tosh Vintage saffron color. And was knitting a few rows. But it's charted and I have to pay attention because then I forget what row I am. I'm knitting and then one side is different. It's happened a few times. I don't know. And then Before I left for Stitches, I had started the Pressed Leaves hat by Alana Dacos from her new
book, her new collection?
Botanical Knits. Okay. And that's in Tosh DK in the Moreland color, which is a dark green.
Yeah.
Like, nice, you know, foliage green color. Yeah. About halfway through. I was going to take it to Stitches, but it's all charted, and there's twisted stitches and stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to travel charted stuff. Yeah. It's just not fun.
Yeah. I did enough of an issue with a Bristol hat, and that's just, like, pearl and knits, but it's a chevron, and there's no chart. It's just all written.
Oh, okay.
So, but, I mean, I finished it. But
yeah.
The Pressed Leaves hat, it's, you know, halfway done. I worked on it some last night, yesterday, sometime, Sunday. Probably Sunday when I got home. The travel thing was kind of a blur.
Yeah.
I came home and slept for like 2 hours.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's my whips.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. And then when I was at Stitches, I picked up a couple of, like, hard copy patterns.
Oh.
I got, hold on, let me grab them right here. So one thing I did purchase from the Sweet Fiber booth was this Woodstack Cowl by Melissa Thompson. And it's sock yarn that you hold double. And there's a short version and a long version. And it's on size 8.
So it's stockinette and then lace?
Yeah, some little, like, yarn over lacy bits and ribbing.
Cute.
Yeah, so I definitely have sock yarn for that. And then the other pattern I got was Chevron Stripe by Jill Zielinski of Knitterella, which is like a tube, a cowl that you knit in a
stranded
tube.
Stranded knit in a tube.
And then you graft it together. And I've seen it before on Ravelry and didn't care for it, but I saw the sample and I was like, oh my God. And I definitely have sock yarn for that. Because it takes like 4 skeins of whatever. Well,
it's 4 colors, isn't it? Or is it, how many colors are in there? 3 colors? 4 colors?
3 or 4 colors.
Because green, white, orange, blue.
Yeah.
4 colors.
It's 4 colors. So it'll be like 4.
I'm sure you don't use anywhere near all of them.
Yeah. But, you know, I was like, I definitely have yarn for that. So, last time I had talked about some Ravelry features, and this is another thing that used to not be able to do, but you can do now, which is in your Ravelry or on the pattern page for any given pattern, there's now a little button where it says add to queue. You can just add it to your library. If you are knitting pre-Ravelry and you have a ton of hard copy patterns, I'm like waving this around. I'm
like
put it
you
down.
Can see.
If you have a ton of hard copy patterns, you can, because I've done this with my little binder of hard copy patterns, you can go through and just click add to library and then you'll have it catalog. It won't show up as a PDF,
but you'll see it.
You'll see
that
it.
You own it. Like if you're doing a search, like usually one of the first things I check if I'm trying to figure out what to do with the yarn is, does it match anything I have in my library?
Yeah.
'Cause I'll forget about things that are in magazines and everything. And it's really nice. I have not gone through and added everything 'cause I have paper patterns. Well, 'cause I'm not organized like you, they're scattered throughout the house. Okay, this is ridiculous. I bought a baby crochet blanket pattern from Church Mouse several years ago and went to go find it. Could not find it anywhere. Search. Thought, okay, whatever. It's a thing, you know, it's one pattern. So I was in Church Mouse in January when I went to my spinning retreat and thought, I'm just going to buy another copy of it. So I bought another copy of it and I came home a couple weeks ago and Isabella is a really good dog, but she really likes to eat paper. So what she usually does is she goes into the recycling and will like chew up an old box or something. So she had gotten a hold of the pattern.
Oh.
But the hilarious thing is the pattern is fine. She just nibbled off the upper right-hand corner. So now I can't, like, I can see the pattern, but I can't read the legend.
Oh.
She ate the legend to the pattern. So now, like, when it says, like, 3DC. I don't know what it means for this pattern. And I'm not such a hot crocheter. So anyway.
That's frustrating.
But I was like, I wonder if I call like Karen over at Church Mouse.
Just
like,
give you
my dog ate my pattern. I've already bought it twice. Could you just tell me what these things mean?
You know, if I think especially with things like, you know, fiber shows or whatever, you'll just like pick up random patterns and you'll get freebies or whatever, you can go in and you can add them without having to, like, rebuy them.
Yeah.
And it'll just be logged that you own it. Another thing you can do now, which I'm not sure how long you've been able to do it. It's searching by ISBN number. Because I was going through and trying to update my booklets and stuff. And I have some Japanese knitting books. And yes. trying to search. I remember when I first got them, I was trying to search by the name. And you never know what crazy name the Japanese book is going to have. It's nothing like what is printed on it in English, if there's English on it.
Or sometimes it is, but sometimes the English is so generic. It's like Erin Knitting.
There's like a bajillion and things. And
then, you know, there's just no way to find it that way.
So you can now search by ISBN, and it'll show you little pictures of the cover, and then you can add it to your library.
Yeah.
Done. Awesome. Totally did that.
Yeah.
Super handy for the Japanese knitting books.
Regan got this awesome Japanese knitting book that's all these reversible scarves, and it's got a million patterns. It doesn't have a million patterns in it. I am exaggerating, but it has many, many patterns in it. A surprising number. And then it turns out Kathy at the shop also has the same book. And then she took a Japanese pattern deciphering class at Madrona.
Oh.
So now she's all fired up. And she's actually knitting a sweater from one of her Japanese pattern books right now.
Cool.
So I need to pick her brain a little bit and dig into some of mine. And also go to Iwajimai or go to Kinokuniya and look at the books a bit more, because I haven't done that in a long time. And this scarf book was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's it for the little Ravelry features. I was just doing that when I came home and I was like, huh, this wasn't always like this. I wonder how many people know about this, because Monica didn't know about it.
Yeah.
So I did finish some books. Okay. I finished the Wool Omnibus. I think I was really close last time.
Yes.
But I already talked about it.
Yes.
So I'm just going to say I finished it. So I finished Tess at the D'Urbervilles, which by Thomas Hardy, which is like one of the most depressing books ever.
Yes.
I don't know if he's the same author who wrote Jude the Obscure. So it's like kind of a female version of that. Like basically people trying to become more educated or learn, like, that they have some type of background, like, aristocratic background, and that, well, Tessa's dad is trying to push her to take advantage of the name D'Urberville, which they're now the Derby Fields, and they're crofters, like, they don't have money and stuff, and her whole adolescent life is, after her dad finds this out, is trying to get her to take advantage of the people who have purchased the name of D'Urberville, and she gets seduced. She gets raped.
She's ruined.
She's ruined. And there's a lot of talk about femininity and nature, and I really disliked that. Like, she becomes pregnant from being raped. She has the child out of wedlock. There's a lot of, like, her going back to, well, she goes back to her parents' house from where all this happened, and about her walking around at night and her being one with nature and blah, blah, blah. And I just, like, kind of barfy to me, like, oh, us women, we're so one with nature.
So in tune.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. But there's this whole kind of, this whole nature thing that happens with Hardy trying to describe Tess as some kind of unnatural but natural woman. Like, who's to say that she's the unnatural one because she's more in tune with nature, blah blah blah, barf. And
is that what your essays read like at school, blah blah totally blah barf
totes? What did Andy say? Totes my goats.
Yes.
Obvi. I don't know. I've seen the movie. There's like a 2-part movie that's kind of older that I'd seen. And there's also, she also falls in love finally with this guy, and his dad's a parson, and he has decided to throw a convention to the wind, and he's not going to be the younger son who, you know, is also a parson. He's going to go into agriculture and be this gentleman farmer deal. They fall in love and they get married, and then he finds out that she's been ruined.
Yes.
And then she's just kind of tossed aside so he can go figure out his deal. And she just is okay with that, basically. It's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be like, dude, whatever. Let's annul this. Done. But no. And it has a sad ending, which I'm not going to tell you.
Yes.
I mean, you might already know.
Yeah. It's not. It's
the book like, has been around alert. For a while. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Death is involved.
All right. Moving on. So, yeah.
It's a downer.
All Ugh. Right.
A downer.
Okay.
And I finished reading A Dirty Job by Christopher Moore, which is hilarious. I had kind of talked about it. The self-described beta male who finds out he's a death merchant. He's raising a daughter on his own. He's got wacky neighbors and this crazy sister who's in and out of these relationships with her crazy girlfriends. And it's really funny. I laughed out loud for some of it, which is really awesome on a plane. Because people are like, what's your problem? I think Monica listened to the audiobook and she said that the narrator was really good. Oh, so, okay. I don't know. I enjoyed it very much. It's an easy read.
Cool.
And now I'm reading Warm Bodies by Isaac Marion.
Because you enjoyed the book. The movie.
I enjoyed the movie. And he's a local author. He lives like in one of the neighborhoods close to me. I don't stalk him or anything. I just read the Seattle Times review. Yes. And so if you don't know, it's like a romantic comedy told from the point of view of the zombie. So the zombie meets this girl, falls in love with her, and he starts kind of regaining his humanity. So there's this whole underlying thing about, you know, being in touch with the world around you, how emotions influence your life. How you can regain humanity if you've lost it, type deal. It's good. I like it. And it's funny. I think I talked about the movie last time. Uh-huh. He collects vinyl. He's really into Frank Sinatra. Uh-huh. That's not in the movie. He's into other stuff. But in the book, he's into Frank Sinatra. I know. And he kind of uses it to speak with her when he's still not fully able to speak well. Kind of like me right now.
Okay, I know we're going really long, but I have to interject with a funny story. I've been using an iPhone app called Sleep Cycle, which is this, like, alarm clock on your phone that, in theory, like, tries to wake you up when you're in your lightest phase of sleep to kind of wake you gently and gives you all these stats on your sleep. And it's been good for me because it's been encouraging me to get more sleep. But you can set it to use a song from your phone as your alarm because the alarms set on it are super sucktastic. And so I've been using Fly Me to the Moon because it's kind of like a gentle intro. But then today I was at work and our Pandora station started playing Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra, and I had this like horrible moment of like, am I being incepted? What is happening here? Like, am I really asleep? But I'm at work, because Wes had done that after Inception. He'd changed his alarm on his phone to Edith Piaf singing.
Oh, yeah.
And then he left his phone alarm on one day and went off to work, and I was asleep, and like I woke up to the song and I was so confused. Like, what is happening? So I kind of had that moment briefly today at work, which you reminded me of when you said Frank Sinatra.
It's good. I just started it on Sunday, I think. But it's pretty short. I mean, I'm reading like the Kindle version of it, so I'm not sure how many actual pages are in the book, but it's pretty short. And it's really super easy to read. So, did you watch anything good?
I haven't really been watching a ton of stuff. I got all caught up on this season of RuPaul's Drag Race, which is awesome. There's a Seattle queen this time.
Oh, so, excellent.
And she's awesome. Jinx Monsoon. She's awesome.
I like that name too.
And it's an interesting group. It's a much more, I think it's been steadily like leaning toward less conventional queens, like over the seasons where there's less kind of like just pretty pageanty queens and more people who are like more versatile performers. And so there's some really like funny, crazy people on the show. So that's been fun. And there was something else I got caught up on, but now I'm like totally gone from my head. I haven't been seeing any movies. My older son and I, like, every day we're like, should we go see Silver Linings Playbook? And then we like can't find a showtime or want to go see Zero Dark Thirty. Still haven't seen it. So there are all these movies that, you know, we watch the Oscars and when Django, when Christoph Waltz won his Oscar, my son got up and shouted like he had just won an award somehow himself. And then when Tarantino won, he was like beside himself, like, oh, screaming and shouting. I was like, It's okay, dude.
Vicarious much?
Yeah, apparently. But I haven't... What else have I been... I guess I haven't really been watching anything. I think I've had the same discs at home from Netflix for months. I don't know what I've been doing with myself. It was interesting you mentioned Craftsy because I have been... I signed up for the floral loom class mm-hmm. on Craftsy, and so I've been trying to work along with that. And so I have been watching that video, and yeah, so I got that weaving class. So I started using some super deep stash for that. So stash that I got, I think, before I started blogging. So, like, that was yarn that a friend of mine got when she started knitting that she bought at a yard sale.
Whoa.
So, it's like this ancient Donegal tweed, and then I'm mixing it with some Cascade 220. We'll see how it goes, but oh. I've been following along on that. So, I've been spending a lot of time watching Craftsy videos.
That's my cat. She's a charmer.
She's got some real opinions.
She's super old.
Yes. Anyway, what have you been watching?
Oh. So I started watching The Wire.
Yay!
Which is good. Noah, do you like it?
It's okay.
I think it takes a while.
How many episodes are you
like
into?
Four.
Oh, okay. It takes a while to kind of get going, but it just keeps getting better each season.
I like the characters better so far.
I find it pleasingly cliched.
It gets better and better, and I'd say less cliched, and I think also it's old enough now that there's a lot of stuff that's already been like riffing on it, but... I do love that show.
Yeah, it's good. I'm enjoying it. I got caught up on The Vampire Diaries, like everything that's on Netflix, which is through season 3. Cliffhanger at the end of season 3. People, if you watch it, don't tell me, okay? So then I decided to have what I was calling emotionally awkward theater, where I watched all these movies in a row that were like really... Painfully awkward to watch. So I watched Sassy Pants, which is about a girl who lives with her mom. She's homeschooled. She and her brother are homeschooled, and she's got this crazy grandmother. And the mom is really neurotic and controlling. And the girl falls in love with... She has this thing for the neighbor boy who she never gets to see or talk to. She, like, worships him from afar. And then her parents are divorced. Her dad is gay and living with this very... much younger guy. And so she, all this stuff happens. She leaves her mom's house. She lives with her dad for a while. She has a hard time getting a job of any sort because she's been homeschooled and doesn't have like her GED or anything. Yeah. But she's really into fashion. So she's trying to like get all this money to go to fashion school because she reads fashion magazines. It's like her one escape.
Did you like it?
It was okay. I don't think it was spectacular. There were parts of it that I thought were funny. Mostly just felt awkward about it. And it's all shot, I said this before at Knitting, that was all shot like soft focus, which is like a Lifetime movie or softcore. Like, that was an unfortunate choice. But
yeah.
I like it when she finally flips out. Like, she's had enough and she just freaks out. I enjoy those. That's like the table flip thing. I enjoy table flips. You just people like get mad and we just flip the table with all the stuff on it. It's one of my favorite things about any show or whatever. I'm all for it if they have a table flip. And I watched Tiny Furniture,
right?
Which is totally awkward. Yeah, you had talked about it before. That girl is just. I like her mom a lot. I think her mom.
That's her real mom.
Yeah.
And that was her real sister too.
Yeah.
Lena Dunham.
Like, their relationship when they are arguing with each other is hysterical, because it reminds me of me trying to fight with my mom and my sister at the same time.
Yeah, it is definitely in the painfully awkward category.
She's like, there's this one part where you're in the tiny kitchen, she's like, why are you even here, to her sister, and her sister just, like, laughs at her, and then she turns around and stomps off. That would have been me. Trying to complain about my sister or complain to my mom, and my sister would just wander in and be like, what's up? I'm like, why are you here? I just get mad and go to my room and listen to punk rock super loud. Instead of having sex with men outside in a pipe.
Oh, no, it's so sad.
And then she tells her mom about it.
I know.
And I was like, oh.
So awkward. So horrible. Oh.
year. And I watched Lars and the Real Girl, which is amazing. I really liked it.
And it has that feeling like, oh dear, this is going to get horribly awkward, but it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It's a really sweet movie. Very
sweet movie. Really well done.
If you don't know what it's about this guy, Lars.
Played by Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. and he lives in a small town, and he lives in like a mother-in-law apartment, and his brother and his brother's wife were expecting their first child, and they live in the house, and he has all kinds of relationship issues with people, just with people touching him, like physical touch, because of stuff that happened when he was younger. And so he orders this custom like sex doll, and it treats her like she's a real person. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of brings the whole community together, to help him deal with his issues so that he can move past it.
Yeah.
It's really sweet.
It is.
It sounds really weird.
I know.
But it's really sweet.
Yeah. Cause my older son was like, can I watch it? And I said, yeah, you know, go ahead and see that. And he's like, isn't it about a sex doll? I'm like, yeah, but he doesn't have sex with a doll.
But it's not really,
it's not about sex. Yeah. It's just about people and, It's much less awkward than you fear it will be when it
like begins. The synopsis is bad.
It reads like a little horrifying. Yeah. So,
and then the last thing I watched was All Good Things, also with Ryan Gosling.
Oh.
And this is like super creepy tastic. so it's based on a true story, which you know that could be anything.
Yeah,
based on a true story, they could have taken it all kinds of crazy directions. But it's about this man who is on trial for this other man's murder, but you find out, so he is upper class and he marries a middle class girl whose dad doesn't approve of. And his dad owns all this real estate in the early 70s, in Times Square, New York. So it's like super shady.
Yeah.
Right. And there's some kind of crazy, I'm not sure if it's money laundering. There's a bunch of shady business around that. And then they know a bunch of politicians. And Ryan Gosling, his character obviously has emotional issues. He's super controlling. He doesn't want to have kids. He implies that it's a physical thing to his wife, but it isn't. It's like, he's crazy. I was going to say cray cray.
He's cray cray.
That he's crazy. And she goes missing.
Yes.
And it's implied in the movie, well, it's more than implied in the movie that he has, I think, killed somebody else, and his wife finds out about it, and then she goes missing.
Yeah.
And then this longtime friend of his, like, helps him cover that up by pretending to be his wife, like, showing up in public wearing, like, a wig and her clothes after she's disappeared to, like, cast doubt on the fact that he killed her. It's creepy.
Yeah.
Super creepy.
Good, though?
It's pretty good. I was like, I don't know if I can watch this. Oh, and there's this one part where he's dressed as a woman because he tries to move to Texas. I think it's Texas or Arizona. It's Texas.
Somewhere dry.
Yeah, somewhere dry. He's dressed as a woman and he pretends that he's mute so that he's not to talk and have his deep voice, like, to his apartment manager.
Odd.
It's super odd. I mean, it is crazy.
Okay.
But it's on Netflix, so okay. I don't know. Megan also watched it like last week too. So she's like, it's weird. I don't know if I like it. And I don't know if I like it either, but he's a good actor. And if you like weird, like based on a true story, man murders wife, possibly some other guy. He gets this other guy to kill this other guy.
Blah, whatever. Blah, blah.
It's well done. I just... creepy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Are we done?
We're done.
That was a lot of chatting. Well, hopefully this will upload normally and everyone will be able to listen to it. We will put show notes on doublenet.net and...
join our group. We're almost at 1,000 members.
Are we? Ooh,
I think that when excitement. We hit 1,000, I will do some drawings for prizes. Because
you just can't get enough of the prizes.
People like them.
Yeah.
That's I don't do it all the time, but we're really close. We're like at 970, 960.
All right, yeah. So all right.
25 to 40 people who are not part of our group, join our group.
Yeah.
And if you're a new listener, welcome. This is a crazier episode than usual.
Yes.
And a lot longer. Rarely. Sorry, it's just how it is this time.
We're a little tired. There was a lot to talk about.
Yes.
We don't always go to Stitches and Madrona.
Nope.
But when we do, we have a lot to talk about.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, baby, what I couldn't do with plenty of money and you, in spite of the worry that money brings, just a little filthy lucre buys a lot of things. And I could take you to places that you would like to go, but outside of that I've no use for dough. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But I'm certain, honey, that life would be sunny with plenty of money and you. Of strife and upheaval, but I'm certain, honey, that life.